Shanti. We have Golobai with us. He has so many specialities, and he is a pioneer, an initiator, a creator, and certainly has accomplished so much that we all benefit from in the Yagya. He came into contact with the Brahma Kumaris in 1984, and when Gyan Sarova was being established, or the land had been purchased, Golobai was the first to build on the land, and one of the buildings was the dome. So if none of you have been to the dome and experienced meditation in the dome, I strongly suggest you walk up there. And on the right, you'll see the cottage, which was the first building, which he built together with a German architect, and the dome. And the dome, really, if you go into the dome for meditation, I can guarantee that you will have an experience. And, of course, another benefit and that we have from Golo is all the solar power. Solar One, he's been responsible for working with the German government on that, establishing all the solar power systems throughout the headquarters. And he also has done a tremendous amount for the hospital. He started and is still the director. Yeah, are you the director of the India Care, which has brought, you know, so much benefit to the hospital, and really initiated all the processes in the hospital. And he, in 2021, started, co-founded a platform, a meditation platform, Yoga for Future. So I think if we really want to get in touch with what's happening, he's a forerunner. So we can listen to Golobai, because I'm sure he will give us deep insights and knowledge about how we should approach the coming years. So thank you so much, Golobai. Om Shanti.
Yeah, Om Shanti. Thank you very much for the introduction. And welcome to this little exchange of information. I hope I will also hear something from you. And welcome also to our audience overseas and outside of India, because I think this project is streamed live, no? And it's part of the International Double Foreigners Program. Yeah, so we'll give you today a little overview where we are, what's going on in the world. I'm also part of the Green Team, the environmental initiative of the Brahma Kumaris, and we are participating since last 12 years. The Brahma Kumaris is participating at the UN climate conferences, and we are registered with UNFCCC, United Nations for Climate Change, and we are also registered with UNDP, United Nations Development Program, and we are registered with UN for Desertification, and then also Biodiversity. So we're registered with different bodies, and now we're going to many, many conferences, and the topic is always what's going on in the world and how can we stop the destruction of our natural environment. That's the big topic at these conferences. And Brahma Kumaris is right smack in the middle of it. And that's sometimes quite interesting, because you know our philosophy that we believe things have to happen as they are happening. And we're together with people who have a lot of anxiety and are worried, and they try to save Mother Earth. So that's quite interesting. You have to be very, very diplomatic, as Baba says. You know, you have to feel the pulse. So this project is also in conjunction with Green Sabbath Weekend. We are teaming up with many organizations. This is one organization. It's a Jewish organization, and they also try to protect the environment. They have a webpage, greensabbathproject.net, and we sort of do this program in conjunction with them. Yeah, so without much further ado, I hope I'm not talking too fast. It's okay, translators. Slowly. Okay, I'm usually a bit fast. Without further ado, let's delve into the topic, and I share with you the latest environmental news. I have been in the summer in Europe, and we have been to the Potsdam Climate Research Institute, which is the leading German institute for weather data and projections for the future. And we have been also at various conferences in the summer. And one of the famous filmmakers in the UK, Sir David Attenborough, he says, the collapse of civilization and the natural world is at our horizon. So let us go a little bit more in detail. And here you can see a graph, which is from this year, and it shows the warming in the Arctic Circle. You know, Arctic Circle is warming up much faster than the rest of the world. In some areas, they say the average warming of our planet is 1.2 degrees right now. But in the Arctic, some areas of the planet are warming up 3 to 4 degrees already. And that's causing all the ice to melt. So our weather is already getting completely out of balance, you can say, because in some regions the warming is much, much more than the normal average. And here you can see now a picture why actually we have such a weird weather all around the world. This is the jet streams. This is a picture about the jet streams. So the jet streams, these are winds which are circulating around the globe. And these winds are in the troposphere. And when you fly from Europe to India or from Asia to India, the pilot tries to catch this jet stream. So he has the wind in the back and he can fly faster and he can save fuel. And sometimes he's unlucky, he has to fly against the jet stream. And that's where he needs 1 hour longer and he needs 20% more fuel. So powerful is the jet streams, up to 200 kilometers fast, the wind. And these jet streams, they are circulating around the globe. And they found around 8 major jet streams. One is around the equator, one is around the Arctic, one is around the Antarctic, and so on and so on. And what happened in the last years, this jet stream, they tried to change their shape. They were pretty fast like this. Now they become more like that. And what happened is, sometimes this meandering of the jet stream stays there for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and then you get here a high pressure system and you get a low pressure system. And this is why you get a heat wave in US, which doesn't change for 3-4 months. Or we got a heat wave in Europe this summer. Those from Europe, you might know, you might remember, no? We had incredible drought in Europe. All the rivers were down, all the grass became brown, the mountains became brown, the trees all started to die because 4 months, 5 months in Europe, no rain, no major rain. And the reason is these jet streams, they're changing. And then they became stationary the whole summer. And then you have a high pressure system and it doesn't rain. It doesn't rain. And that's what's happening. And that's why we have all over the world this change in climate. And we're getting more strong hurricanes. We're getting more powerful droughts. And we're getting more powerful flash rains and flash flooding in certain areas. That's the main cause of that. And this is happening already at 1.2 degrees temperature rise. So you can imagine what will happen if the temperature, average temperature, rises further. At the moment, as per the computer simulations and the predictions, we're heading for 3.5 centigrades global warming. 3.5, 4 degrees global warming at the moment, including all the efforts of the world community to reduce carbon emissions. We're heading for 3 degrees, 4 degrees. So this will become much, much worse. And what is happening is, now you can see the tipping points in climate. So science has identified major systems in our climate. These are the big forests in the north. These are the reefs in the oceans. These are the North Atlantic Circulation, for example, here. And this is the El Nino, which is here. And this is the Indian summer monsoon, which is here. And here you have the forests. And here in blue, everything what is connected to the ice. So they have identified 12 of these major systems, which are very powerful, and they are sort of balancing and keeping our climate in harmony. You know, summer, winter, all these kind of things. And out of 12 systems, 8 have begun to move and shift. For example, the North Atlantic Circulation here has weakened 20%. And this is the heating system for Europe. Without the North Atlantic Circulation, for example, Europe would be having a weather like Siberia. And you could not grow what you're growing there at the time. It would be completely different climate. Similar, the Indian summer monsoon has begun to shift. You might have heard that Mount Abu received very good rains. Did you hear and could you see how green it is everywhere? No? We got 95 inches of rain this year, which was very good. 2 years ago we had only 40. So everything is green in Mount Abu. It's very, very nice. But in other parts of India, it doesn't stop raining. And now in India, the wheat production of last year has suffered because the spring was unseasonal hot and there were no little showers in between. So in India, they say the crop production has suffered by 20%, officially, maybe unofficially more. And India stopped exporting of wheat. India is the second largest wheat exporter. And India stopped also exporting of rice because of shortfall within India. So this is actually the situation what happened, that we have already everywhere major changes in food production and major effects on the local population of climate change. It's no more a future prediction, it's happening right now. And I'm sure at your home places, wherever you come from, a lot of you come from Malaysia or Philippines, you might have also have some odd weather there. Some more heat, some more rain, some more typhoons or more powerful storms and things like that. No? You might have noticed at your local places. The reason is that on a global scale, our weather is changing. And this affects food production. This creates forest fires. And in Siberia and in Canada, we have huge forest fires and they cannot douse them, they cannot stop them because nobody lives there. And they're called mega fires. They're the size of 30 by 30 kilometers. And the whole area is burning. And nobody's there. They only see it by satellite or by planes when they fly over it. Because the forests are drying up. And this summer I was with Sonia in Sweden. And Sweden is a country with thousands of lakes and beautiful, beautiful greenery. And there was water emergency. And they told the people, don't water your garden. Can you imagine in Sweden, which is very famous for greenery and all this, never before in history, and it was brown. It didn't rain for a month because of the change of the jet streams. So this is happening to our planet, and this is affecting food production. And in Africa already we have a lot of refugees, Asia also, India also, many, many places of the world we have refugees which are fleeing from the drought. This is called mitigation. They try to go to other countries or to other continents. In Europe, we have now hundreds of thousands of people which come from Africa. And every year, 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people die when they try to cross the Mediterranean in small boats. That's right now the situation already. So we already have big effects everywhere. And this change in climate is affecting in a big way also the biodiversity. You know, when I came first to India, I remember that after the rainy season, when there was a bulb outside or a lamp, there were thousands of moths and insects. And they were all bzzz, the whole night they were circling around the bulb. And when I came from Europe, I saw that and I thought, wow, so many moths and so many insects. Now, there's hardly any. You go outside and you hardly see anything. And a survey in Europe has came up with the latest figure that 70%, 80% of the insects already have disappeared. 70% of the insects. Can you imagine? The insects are extremely important for the natural cycle of things because they are the food for many others, but they help also the plants in germination and all that. Huh? And now they disappear. So biodiversity is at stake. And this century is the century where maximum number of species, animals and plants have already disappeared. And the UN is having every 2 years the biodiversity conference. The next one is in Montreal, and we are also going there in December. And they're discussing how to address that and how to protect. And it's virtually impossible. It's very, very difficult because the fundamentals are shifting. Climate is changing in a big way, and everything is falling apart. And the bad news is that this process is exponential. What does it mean? Our Earth dies at a very, very high speed. And scientists made a lot of prediction how fast this is going to happen. And of course, Brahmins are master calculators of future events. We are super keen to find out when Golden Age is coming. Or when Krishna is born. I heard this is going to happen very, very soon. And so we're very keen to calculate and predict and project and do things. And of course, this Earth scientists, they're also doing it. And all the major institutes, they have supercomputers where they try to calculate how fast is that change going to happen, this destruction going to happen. And whatever predictions they made, after 5 years, they found out they're too conservative. It means things are happening much faster than they were anticipating. This is what we can see. It's almost like things are happening in exponential speed. Exponential means with a factor 4. You multiply every year. So the curve, which was like this, suddenly goes up like that. And things happen very fast, very big, much faster than anticipated. And that's what we're happening right now, that in front of our eyes, the planet Earth is dying. And this is not on a regional scale, it's on a planetary scale. It's a planetary crisis. And we could have avoided all that very easily. You see, here is a graph which shows you actually how much energy is coming to the Earth. So the big cube is the sun energy coming to the Earth. It's a lot. And this little cube is what we need. So we have the factor 1,000 more energy coming from Earth, from sun to Earth, than what we need. There's plenty. They calculated they would need an area, I think 60 by 60 kilometers, and they could power the whole Earth. Area 60 by 60 kilometers, put solar cells, and that would be enough electricity for the whole Earth. Of course, there are problems of distribution, of storage, but technically all possible. And then in the other cubes, you see the storage of uranium, coal, oil, and gas. And whatever is in the ground, and because we're so stupid, we're burning the fossil fuels, we make wars because of the fossil fuels. Since 30 years we know that we have to get rid of fossil fuels, and we also know we have the technology, but we're not smart enough to make the switch. Why? Because people can earn more money with coal and gas. It's the biggest business in the world. So Baba said one of the big failures of humans is the greed. Because of greed, we're not switching. It's very profitable. And people want to protect their investments in conventional energy sector. That's why we're not switching. And it would be so easy. Technology is there, sun is there, and so on. But this is not the only problem we are facing. We have also other worrying problems in our world, because it's not only environmental crisis or biodiversity crisis. We also have a massive, massive economic crisis. The reason is fossil fuels are becoming very costly now because they become short. And for 30, 40 years, the industry has stopped that we transferred to solar energy, to renewable energies. Now, suddenly, in Europe, they're preparing for power cuts. Who's from Europe? Okay, yes. So they prepare for gas cuts and for power cuts, for electrical cuts. Just read a report. Situation is very dramatic because Russia has switched off the gas pipelines, and somebody, in addition, to make sure no more gas will come, has blown up the pipeline in addition. Very nice move. And oil has also stopped. And Europe is like, oops. And they know it since 30 years. They have the technology, but we've not done it. And now we face the music. And these things, what we can see, these wars and this crisis, one of the major reasons is that oil and gas is getting short. You know, in old days, 100 years ago, when they were finding oil, they were just drilling a hole, and the oil came out by itself. Now, they drill a hole, and they have to pump steam into the ground to create pressure in the ground, so they get the oil out. And then the oil comes out mixed with sand, so they have to clean it, and so on. So, in old days, you use 1 kilowatt hour of energy to drill the hole, and you got 50 kilowatt hours of energy out. Now it has changed. You use 1 kilowatt hour of energy, you get 10 kilowatt hours of energy out. And that ratio, that trend, you cannot change it. It means there will come a moment, you use 1 kilowatt hour of energy, and you will get 1 kilowatt hour of energy out of the ground. And that's when fossil fuels will not give any benefit anymore. But we are already at the brink that many old oil fields in the Middle East are old. They're losing now their yield. New oil fields are here and there and this and that. But for example, in Canada, they use oil sand, but it's extremely dirty and is much less efficient. So the reason is, for all these problems, is we have reached what is called peak oil. That's a technical term called peak oil. And all these wars and problems and energy prices going up and shortages and all this blue, blah, blue, blah, blue, blah, is because we reached peak oil, which has been anticipated also since a long time. So we're all experience has been anticipated and they were knowing about it. But it has not been made differently, which is very interesting and tells us something about human smartness and about how strong are the old sanskars. Huh? That's also something interesting. So what happened is, because of all this, we also face an economic crisis of unprecedented proportions. And there's something called a black swan event, which is in the pipeline also. The last big black swan event was 2008, when Lehman Brothers crashed. But before that was the Black Friday, 1920 or something, in the Wall Street, when the stock market crashed. So a black swan event is a unpredictable event that is beyond what is normally expected of a situation and has potential severe consequences. And just to give you an idea, there's a graph here of the value of the US dollar. So you just understand what's the situation. This is 1900, and $1, $100 was value, $100. After 110 years, $100 has the purchasing dollar power of $3. So $97 have disappeared. That's inflation. So what the governments are doing, in old days, the currency was gold. You know, gold and silver. I still remember in old days I was collecting some old coins and I got the 1 rupee coin. You know, have you ever seen 1 rupee coin in silver? It's a sterling silver coin. And on one side is the queen and on the other side it was written 1 rupee. And you could buy a whole bag, 2 bags of wheat or 3 bags of wheat, you know. You could buy 200 kilo of wheat with 1 silver coin rupee. That was the value of 1 rupee, that much purchasing power. Since then, currencies have been many times devaluated. And what the governments are doing, they're printing money. So 98% of the money which is circulating is only now existing in computer. And only 3% is really printed. So what happened is, our currency globally have devaluated and the amount of debt has risen accordingly. So the whole world is now living on debt, on borrowed money. And it's a house built out of cards. And the situation is extremely volatile. Because at the moment we have a war going on between 2 blocks. It's a geostrategical war between Russia on one side, with a little bit help of the Chinese friends, and on the other side, the NATO, the Americans, with a little help of the other countries also. And this is also an economic war, which is going on. And America is in super, super, super debt. And in the last 2 years, they just doubled the government debt. So any time now, we can also see such a crash. Okay, so we are in a global catastrophic scenario. Climate change is happening, is running away. Biodiversity is disappearing. Our animals, natural environment is disappearing. We have war going on. We have reached peak oil. And we have a very disastrous economic global situation. Because the economic model we were living on the last 80 years since Second World War is crashing. That model was based on the concept of economic growth. Grow, 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 grow. And we have a limited planet, so we cannot grow unlimited. So there comes a moment when mathematically this is no more matching. And we are reaching now that point. And everything, literally everything, is unfolding and become revealed. That's also a sign of the time. Okay, so this was a bit to give you an idea of the planetary situation. And a couple of days ago, I decided to reduce reading newspaper at least by 70%. Because it's so bad, what's on the newspaper. And I just have a look, an overview, and that's it. I don't go any more in details. Because this is just the peak of the iceberg, and more is going to happen in that direction. So, now if we see that in a spiritual time frame, and we put it into the signals of time, Baba spoke many times about that, and Baba called it, or in the Yagyas also called, the last chapter. So and in Yagya we have a couple of signs, and Baba has foretold us about these signs. And one sign I always remember is that Baba says, a time will come, I will have told you everything, and then I will stop coming. And some of us, you might have met Baba personally on stage. When I came to Yagya in 85, I came first time to Madhuban, Dadi Gulzar was coming every third night. Dadi Gulzar was going every third night into trance, and Bab Dada came. And he stayed from 7 in the evening to 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes they say, you have done Amrit Vela with Baba, now you don't have to do extra Amrit Vela. These were the days, and every third night Bab Dada came. And we met Baba when we arrived, then we had a main meeting, and then we left, we met Bab Dada. With Drishti, with message, with everything, fantastic. And Baba gave so much Gyan, spoke everything, all the points he spoke to us, but Baba says, time will come, I will have told you everything, and then I will not come any longer. And then Baba, and then Dadi got sick, and Bab Dada's program changed afterwards, and then it moved to Shantivan, into the big hall, and when this happened in the big hall, I thought, wow, what a big hall. But it was not full, you know, it was like... and then, you know, at the end, Baba's hall was full, and even outside people were sitting, and we started Baba online, you know, and all around the world people were listening. And I remember when Baba came last time, Bab Dada came last time, because we were just completing the India One power station, and we were frantically trying to get everything ready, so we made a model so Baba can push the button, you know, on stage. And Dadi was in Bombay, so it was not sure. Then she came, then Bab Dada's program, then it was not sure Dadi Gulzar will come. Then Baba came, Dadi came, Bab Dada came, she went in trance, and we all could go on stage, and Baba said, push the button, and the light went on, you know, we had some little gimmick there. Baba inaugurated the plant, and that was it. Afterward, Bab Dada never came. He never came, Dadi came never back from Bombay. So, and at that time, Dadi's body was trembling, you know, when Bab Dada came in, because the energy was so powerful, and Dadi hardly could take it. You know, and we were all watching there, like the body was trembling, and Baba said, "Acha," you know. And really, Baba used Dadi Gulzar's body until the last possible moment to give Gyan and share experience to us. And then that's it. So that's one big sign in drama that Baba is no more coming into the physical realm. Luckily, we get sometimes a book message, you know. That's it. And Baba said, the time will come, I will not come anymore, and you have to come up. So that is being happening. The next is our daddies and seniors, you know. I remember when I came in the courtyard, sometimes there were like 10 daddies sitting. Sometimes they had a meeting, then 20 daddies were there, and they were all chatting, you know. And now the original jewel is, I think, Dadi Ratanmohini is there, no? The last original jewel now. So daddies and seniors are leaving us. That's also a sign. They're all responsible for sustenance and for the growing establishment of the yagya. And a third sign in yagya is that tapasya becomes more and more important. You might have noticed a subtle shift. Now a bit more meditation is going on. And it's more about yoga, experimentation, and so on. So, and the signals of time in the world, so these are the signs and signals in yagya on the spiritual level. And of course, people become desperate on the outside world. And the signs in the world are the planetary crisis. We have wars going on, restriction of movement. We're still lucky we can all travel, but who knows how easy we can travel from here to there and this and that. Who knows it? You know? At the moment, tickets are available, the airplanes are flying. But I was also traveling in Corona time, and I was the only person flying in and out of India, and I had 30 papers, and so many masks and security things and checks. It was unbelievable. When I arrived in India, I had to go two weeks in quarantine. When I went back to Germany, I had to go also 2 weeks in quarantine. It was very funny. So I already experienced restriction of movement. And we have the climate change, loss of biodiversity. We have health crisis. More and more people become sick, corona crisis. And we have economic breakdown, food crisis. Do you know, in Britain it's called the crisis or cost of living crisis, they call it in Britain, because all food prices in Europe have gone up 30%. And I think in India, food prices also have gone up dramatically. All grain, wheat, everything has gone up dramatically in India. And then we have fuel and electricity shortage. So these are the signs in the world. These are the signals. And Baba has spoken many times about these signals. And this is why we call it the last chapter. So, and in the world, we have different reactions to that. We go often to these conferences and people react in all different ways to this crisis. One thing is how the Brahmins react, you know, because we hear it in the Murlis, so we are preparing ourselves and so on. But for us, it's also a bit of a tough situation, you know, because we're not yet 100% detached. Who is 100% detached? No hand is going up. That's a smart question. Eh? Nobody is 100% detached. I'm not 100% detached. Not at all. So it's quite a challenge, because Baba says the time, the clock is with the children. So whatever happens in the world, it's mirrored in the yagya and in the stage of the children. So it's interconnected. We are controlling the time. I will come to that point a little later. So what happens is the reaction in the world is very interesting. First of all, there's denial. Many people, they ignore it. They don't want to see it, because if there's a situation, psychologically, if there's a situation which is very bad, you don't want to see it. You don't want to think about it. People cannot change climate change. They cannot change the war. So they don't want to see it. So it's denial. Another one is anxiety, depression. There's a new disease now among psychologists. It's called climate anxiety and climate depression. There's even in UK, there's a worldwide group of psychologists, no? And they are having a webpage, very professional, and they are dealing with people who have anxiety and depression because of climate change and war, and they cannot change it, and they get depressed. It's a new disease. My brother is a doctor. My Lokit brother is a doctor, and he says he gets more and more people now who freak out, who don't see any future. Especially young people have that problem, the youngsters. For them, it's a very tough situation, you know. They're getting young. They just finished school. I remember when I finished school. Oh, my God. That was 1978. I was 18. I finished high school, and I took a one-way ticket to Jamaica to become a hippie. And never came back, you know. I mean, that was at least an outlook, you know. And that was fun. Now imagine, with such a world in such a crisis, what you're going to do as a youngster. So we have depression, fear, anger, and panic. Anger and panic are more difficult to handle. And you see the number of demonstrations going up everywhere in the world. Small thing happens, big demonstration, and one people get killed, and in the demonstration, 50 people get killed. That's what happened, and you have more and more panic. People don't see any way out. And that's something which is affecting also us, atmospherically. You know, we Brahmins, we say, oh yeah, yeah, Baba, this, that, and meditation, but we are part of the world, and the vibration is around us. And we have to protect ourselves. No? So, big question is, are we ready for that, what's coming? And Baba, I remember in 2018 was an NCCC meeting in Shantivan. And there was a message from Baba. And Dadi Gulzar was there. And she rang in the morning to Nirbhay. And she said, this is a message from Baba. And Baba said, settle and finish all conflicts. Keep food for 6 months to 1 year. And make Amrit Vela powerful. I'm still working on all that points. So, now, the big point is, maybe we can have a moment and visualize such a time which is right at our doorstep, you know, when things get a bit out of control. How will be our stage? And what's really important? Maybe we can reflect for half a minute. And then maybe somebody likes to share what's important. Right. So, anybody has a special point who came up in his mind? What's important, and what's important about your stage? Anybody likes to say something, or are you very shy? Yes, sister. Shout it! Shout it! Some of us are so far behind. Okay, I will do. Okay. Yeah. That was not the question, but okay. The question is, what is important at that time? Huh? Flying? Fly to Baba. He says, fly to Baba. Practice of bodiless stage, very good point. Practice of bodiless stage, yeah. Fly to Baba, practice of bodiless stage. That I didn't hear.
Have a firm faith.
Have a?
Firm faith.
Have firm faith, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fly to Baba, bodiless stage, have firm faith. All right, 3 points, good. So let us see. Number one is, we should be very optimistic. You know, because sometimes these bad news have the tendency also to drag us ourselves a little bit down, you know. You know, I was just in the Alps. I love the mountains. I love them. I love the ocean and the mountains. I love the whole world. But I love most the mountains and the ocean. So this summer I went with a bike and I made a bit of a service tour with my motorcycle. And I went through the Alps. And my heart was crying because the mountains were brown. And there was no more rain. And in Switzerland, they closed down these alms where they keep the cows in the mountains and make the special milk and the special cheese and the special... They had to close them down in emergency because there was no more fodder and there was no more water. So the whole mountains in front of me, I could see the trees, they all became brown. They started to die in the Alps, which is full of rain normally. And my heart was crying. So for me, very, very important is to become a detached observer. Really detached, like. And put it in the context of Baba's Gyan. This is in drama and it is going to happen. It has to happen like that. You know? And destruction is part of creation. You know, you have to really put knowledge up in your mind in order to deal with these kind of disturbing news, information, circumstances, views which you are seeing around you. And you have to have firm faith. That was a good point. And of course, make it strong in an experience. Means bodiless stage. So optimism is very helpful. You see, this elephant is extremely optimistic because he believes little monkey will catch him. And little monkey is very optimistic because he thinks I can catch the elephant. So we have to become like that. You know, I'm the monkey and the elephant is Baba and I'm catching him. Something like that, you know. So we have to be very, very optimistic. And the big question is, what is our task and our duty in such times? You know, when I came in Gyan, there was one brother in Frankfurt in Germany. He says, Golo, Baba gave message. And in 3 years, there's destruction. I said, very good. Very good. I will do tapasya 3 years. And then in 3 years, destruction and golden age will start. Fantastic. I said, very good. So I did 3 years meditation. But after 3 years, you know, the Warsaw Pact disintegrated, you know. Suddenly there was peace everywhere. And I said, what's going on? And I asked the brother, where's the destruction? He said, one more year. That's 30 years ago, 35 years ago. But now things have changed. For sure. It's right in front of us. You know? So what is our task and our duty? So one is to become an angel and a healer. Then, of course, do service, raise awareness and consciousness with the people. Change our lifestyle as good as possible. Use a bit more of solar energy. And become a magician. So let us go a little bit more in detail. So become an angel. And I always remember Dadi Janki. She says, be a helper of God. Loving and compassionate. Healer for the world. And guide to the light. This is an angel. And Baba said, that is your stage at the end. When you sort of help and guide others to transition from a lot of karma, a lot of sorrow, into the bodiless stage, into their angelic costume, so they can go up. And I remember Dadi, she was such a source of inspiration. You all met Dadi, no? Yeah, she's so good, no? She helped so many times. And we all miss her dearly. And I wonder where these daddies have taken rebirth. So I asked yesterday Gopal Bhai, who was a very close friend of Dadi Gulzar, what about Dadi Gulzar? Has she taken rebirth? And he didn't answer to me clearly the question. He said, that's not important. Baba will take care. Like that. So things are changing. Huh? And Dadi was such a source of inspiration and such an example, a well-wisher. So now the big question is, what's our angelic speciality and how that can help yourself, others and Baba to create a world? So think, what is your angelic speciality? You know, angel is not touching the ground. He's very light. He is light and very light, both. Can overcome the obstacle very easily. And he's looking from above. And he's super detached. And super loving. That's a very sweet combination, huh? Super detached and super loving. Very nice. So, we all have to become angels. Alright, so that's a bit about become angelic. Now let's become a little bit more practical. Raise consciousness and awareness. And you know, one of the great environmentalists was our Brahma Baba. You can see how empathically he is hugging that little baby camel. Have you ever seen baby camels? They're very sweet. They have big eyes. They're very sweet. So Brahma Baba was actually a lover of animals. And he was also taking care of nature. And because of the great, great, great example, Brahma Kumaris has initiated and founded a environmental initiative. And it's called, we have a webpage, echo.brahmakumaris.org. Please go there and have a look. There's lots and lots and lots of information. There's lots of interviews. There's a lot of information about all the activities which we're doing. And the Brahma Kumaris Environmental Initiative, this is our brochure. We have 10 ways to change the world, become loving, become compassionate, become a change maker, and become a motivator, become a dreamer. All these points we have in our environmental initiative. And with this environmental initiative, we go since 12 years to all the climate conferences. And Sister Sonia is there. She's our secretary. As usual, she's sitting with a computer because in 2 weeks, we will go to the climate conference in Egypt, in Sharm el-Sheikh, with Sister Maureen, Valeria and myself, and many, many others. And we are a team total, maybe 15 brothers, and maybe we have about 30 programs, 25 programs. We have press conferences, we team up, and we have gatherings, we meet, and we team up with other religions, politicians, organizations, and we're trying to give Baba's message. So this environmental initiative is like a important vehicle to bring this idea of love for the nature and our interaction to nature into the BK family, but it's also a bridge which we build into society. And it's all about simple living, care and compassion, relationship with the end, good health. Your own good health is important. And karma with metta, how to deal with your karma with metta, protecting yourself in the Iron Age, sustaining Baba's task, giving Baba's message, and prepare for the collapse, for the end. So this is all about the environmental initiative. And we have a lot of activities for centers also. We have a plastic-free initiative. We have a travel compensation. We have guidelines for the centers, you know, plastic segregation, waste segregation, this, that, this, that. And we have a green assessment for centers with a certificate. And we have regular newsletter. And you can contact Sonia if you're interested. And Sonia can put you on the mailing list. How many now, Sonia? At the moment, 800 BKs and centers are on the green mailing list. So we do every month, no? Every 2 months we do a newsletter and we give the news about the environmental service, which is a very broad spectrum. No? And our motto is the green lifestyle. Think before you buy or act. Reuse as much as possible. Reduce your consumption. Recycle as much as possible. And refuse all the new fashion trends. And here you can see some pictures. This was in the climate conference in Glasgow. Just recently, don't even ask how complicated it was to go there. We all had to do hundreds of corona tests. Every day we had to do corona tests, upload it to the government. Then we got an email that we can go and that we had to show at the entrance, beside being registered and all these kind of things. And there was police and everything. It was like a unbelievable. 40,000 people, hundreds of protesters, and in the middle, Brahma Kumaris, and we enjoyed ourselves. We were in peace, in happiness. We created Baba's vibration. And around us, there were the people all frantically trying to save Baba's, to save the nature, the world. And you can see here our stand, some program with Valerian, with interreligious dialogue. We're very active in interreligious dialogue. And here, press conference with Sister Genti and some guys from the Potsdam, from ISS in Potsdam, from a research institute. We are also doing, preparing now for this climate conference, and just every day putting out the programs and the projects. And this is our team, and you can see the very happy environmental team with Valerian, with Sister Genti, she's the head, and also Maureen, and yeah, and a lot of the youngsters are very upset, and there are a lot of organization, this is a little bit drastic now, which are really freaking out. See here, this very interesting text. It's written, when Babylon will fall, paradise will thrive again. So this is the outside groups, not the Brahma Kumaris. When Babylon is the bad world, when it will fall, paradise will thrive again. And they have a skull here, and they says, your greed is our death. And there's an organization called Extinction Rebellion, and they say, regardless what we are doing, the end is coming, this is the end, and you have to prepare for it. And we met the founder and invited him to London. Twice he came, to Global House. We had a meeting with him. His name is Jim Bendel. He's a professor from UK. And he started a huge movement around the world. And these people believe the end is there, regardless what we're doing, and we have to prepare ourselves. And they offer workshops that people can detach themselves from their body, from their world, and prepare. They're not sure what is coming afterwards because they don't have Baba's knowledge, but they're pretty honest. And many people are listening to them. And these people are now at the climate conference, and they make theater groups and stages, and they get a lot of attention. So the end is on us. So what has happened? There's a new paradigm. See, Homer also knows it. Destruction becomes mainstream. Yeah, you know, when we came, I remember first time we came to the climate conference, that was in 2009 in Copenhagen. We were there, and the people came to us, and they laughed at us. They said, what are you funny yogis doing here? I say, well, yeah, we're also here. We're good people, you know, like that. And they say, no need for you. We just take money, technology, and strategy, and we fix climate change. That was 2009. Now these people come to us, and they say, oh, please, help us. It's quite interesting. Now people look to us. They look to the Brahma Kumaris. You know? So things have changed in our favor. So this is what's happening. We're doing a lot of work at these conferences. And as I said, we're going to every year to 4 or 5 of the major conferences. And a lot of effort, a lot of money we spend, resources of Brahma Kumaris goes in. And you can follow it all. Because in the newsletters we give all information. And you can also do something locally. In your home, in your center, etc., etc. Okay, next is the green, the solar. So Brahma Kumaris has started 25 years ago with solar technology. And do we do traffic?
शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है शिव बाबा की।
Now I would like to share with you a little bit what Brahma Kumaris is doing practical in the field of solar energy. And 30 years ago, I brought some small solar cells to Madhuban, and everybody with a little electric car, and it was driving in the courtyard, and everybody said, "Oh, solar power, very good." And that's how we started renewable energies. And meanwhile, Brahma Kumaris and daughter organization, World Renewable Spiritual Trust, we are a recognized solar research center with the government. We are the biggest institutional user of solar energy in India. And we run 700 solar systems in the centers in India. And some of them fairly big and fairly large. And the government is also aware. Prime Minister Modi is also aware about our solar activities. And meanwhile, we got a lot of good credit from them. So we do a lot of research on different technologies. And here, for example, backside Gyan Sarovar, we totally have here in Gyan Sarovar 250 kilowatt photovoltaic. And this electricity for the sound system, for the computer, for the projector, this comes from solar. And we have a solar cooker on the kitchen rooftop. You might can go there and have a look. And we produce the food, the steam for food processing, for cooking, also by the power of sun. So we have lots and lots of solar systems here in Pandavabhavan and in Shantivan. And we produce to some great extent energy for the yagya and use it. And we can run this Gyan Sarovar in an emergency also without outside power. We can run it if the sun shines. In rainy season, it will be a bit more difficult. Here you see a picture of Om Shanti Retreat Center in Delhi. There's a 400 kilowatt system. And you can see here solar cooker. So this is photovoltaic and here solar cooker. And they're all with batteries. So we also promote solar lantern and solar cooking box, the small one. So you can have a solar cooking box. You can cook yourself and lantern. You can charge it with the sun. And you have a LED lamp. It's also called camping light. You can also buy it locally. And so this is in Om Shanti Retreat Center. And this is our solar cooking system here in Gyan Sarovar. And this system was built in 1997 and is the oldest functioning solar system in India. The oldest functioning solar system in India. And when we get government people, they come and they say, "Oh my God, this is so old and it's still functioning." And we are saying, "Yes, we will run it another couple of years." And they never seen such an old system which is still running. That's also Baba's blessing, the maintenance. So that old system was sponsored by the German government. And we're cooking 2,000 meals every day. So your food, what you're getting, is partly cooked by the power of sun. This is our Shantivan complex. And you can see here a solar steam cooking system. And we have everywhere photovoltaic system. Yeah, some years ago we also completed India 1. India 1 was a power station built by Brahma Kumaris. And we teamed up with the Indian government, we teamed up with the German government, and we got the total budget was about $15 million. And we got 50% by the Germans, 25% by the Indians, and 20% come from the Yagya. And it's a research project, and the speciality is that we can store the energy overnight. Probably you all must have seen India 1. Who has not seen the power station in Shantivan? You all have seen it. Okay, you can go there. And this is a picture. So for the project, we had to develop everything new. It took us 10 years, and we were up to 300 people working there. And 10 years, my brain was only India 1, India 1, India 1, India 1, India 1, nothing else. No Shiv Baba, no Brahma Baba, nothing, only India 1. I have 10,000 emails. And since the project is completed, I can take a deep breath, because it was quite a challenge. You can see here an aerial photo. We have 800 dishes. Here's photovoltaic. Here's the workshop where we build it. And somewhere here is Shantivan complex. So we produce electricity for Shantivan. And at the time when we planned it, it was big enough. And since then, the load of Shantivan has tripled. So you can imagine how the Yakya is growing. So we do. So that is one of our flagship projects. And we got a lot of good credit. And Brahma Kumaris is now well known in India, but also abroad, for its activities in the environment, especially renewable energies. And this is a blessing. Baba one time said, I think when we were in Copenhagen, Mohini Ben asked Baba this. She said, oh, Jenti Ben, and they're all at the climate conference. And Baba said, it's very good, it's very good. He says, renewable energy is very good, because there will come time of darkness, and you will have light in the Yagya. So there's Baba's blessing that we will have light in the Yagya and a little bit of energy to run the show. No? Because of renewable energies. So we do also a lot of training and education. We did more than 40 workshops sponsored by UNDP, United Nations Development Program. And we train engineers, we train the locals, and we do a lot of work there. So Brahma Kumaris is very active in the field of renewable energies, and we are one of the premier organizations in India. And we're quite well known and established now. And research is still going on. We work with different organizations, with IITs, with Indian Institute of Technology, and so on and so on. And we get, India One gets every year 30, 40, 50, 60,000 visitors. And a lot of people come also from outside. And a lot of film crews, and a lot of interest. Yeah, I would like to share with you one more project. It's called, what the Yagya is doing, it's called Sustainable Yogic Farming. You have heard about it, I hope. This project's speciality is to give drishti to the plants and to the seeds. And it's working that we meditate in the morning and the evening with the field and with the seeds. And our Raju Bhai is doing that project. And Sumant, here from the headquarters side. And we meditate with the seeds, like, you're very good, you're my friend, you will grow very fast and no bugs will come. And then we plant them. And it can be anything. And here you can see some result of yogic farming. You can see on one side is the chemical, little bit with chemical fertilizers. Then in the middle is yogic farming. And on the right side is organic. And you can see the difference in size. So the organic, the yogic farming is the biggest. No fertilizer, no bugs. And the taste is the best. This is the result when you give drishti and good intentions to the seeds. And here you can see our wheat. And on the left side, you can see without meditation. And on the right side, you can see with meditation. And we found out we have approximately 30% more yield when we meditate. And there's a webpage, www.yogiketi.org. You please visit. It's in English, no? Partly. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff also in English and a bit of Hindi, of course. And the good news is we just got the information that the Yagya is running or has initiated 40 farms. They're running right now with this principle of giving drishti to the plants and do organic and drishti with the plants. And the government of India is interested in our yogic farming, and so we are running these farms as prototype farms, and when it's all successful and so on, then Indian government wants to replicate yogic farming. It's quite an achievement, you know. So have a look. I'm not sure if they belong to the Yagya, but maybe some. Yeah. So some of them, maybe some places belong to Yagya, very few, but mostly these belong to outsiders, but they are trained, and we go regular there and see that everything is happening accordingly. So they are people who are sort of trained in yogic farming. So it's a big project by the Yagya, and it's very, very interesting results. So it means there's a connection between your mind and your intention and what happens. That's very interesting, no? Very interesting. I will come to that. And because of that, last year we have set up a platform called Yogis for Future. There's an app, there's a web page, and Yogi for Future just puts 150 meditation commentaries on the web page and on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. And we just want to give people an experience. Just connect, listen every day, and the meditation commentaries are 6 minutes long, 8 minutes long, with a very simple visual, and we collected the best meditation commentaries from the Yagya, from the best meditators, and we went in many old archives, and it took quite some time to get it all together and get also the permission to use it. And so these are 150 meditations in English, 2 to 8 minutes, and we plan to go in Hindi also, and we are on webpage, mobile app, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can go there, and that's connected also to yogic farming. So, there's a new paradigm. My inner world and the outer world are interconnected. If you have an intention of love, of positivity, of compassion, this sort of translates into practical action. There's a very famous psychologist from Harvard. She's a professor. Her name is Ellen Langer. And she did a lot of experiments with in order to prove how your intention of your mind has an effect on your body. And two I would like to share. She took 100 people, old people, and elderly people, and she did a complete health checkup. Then 50 people she put in house A, and 50 people in house B. And in house A, everything was normal. And in means same food, same books, same entertainment for the old people. But in house B, she changed everything. She asked them to wear a dress from the 60s. She changed the book and the literature to the 60s. She put old television programs from the 60s, and the food they also changed. And she told to the people, you talk about politics and things of the 1950s and 60s. These old people, she asked. And after 1 month, she made again a health checkup of this group in house A and house B. And the results were quite shocking. Because the situation in house A, where nothing has changed, was the same. But house B, where the people were thinking about things which happened 30, 40 years ago, the situation, the health of all these people has improved dramatically. You know, old people, they all have some health issue, diabetes, this, that, arthritis, and so on. And some people, they got healthy again. Some of the old people, they said, why I'm in this old age home, I want to travel around the world, and they left the place. So what she finds out, she says, the mind controls what happens in the body. Your intention is in charge. So when you change awareness, you change the reality. And she did it with students, and she gave them a crossword puzzle. And 25 students, she gave a positive crossword puzzle. I'm happy, I'm powerful, I'm the best, this, that, this, that. And afterwards, she asked them to go in another building in the third floor. And 25 students, she gave crossword puzzle with bad word. Anger, hatred, hair loss, diarrhea, you know, nobody loves me, you know, stuff like that. And then she asked them also to go in the next building on the third floor. What she didn't tell them was that she put a camera and measured the time, how much time they need. So what happened is, the students with the positive, they walked, da-da-da-da-da, and they walked up the stairs, da-da-da-da-da. And the students with the bad crossword, they walked like old people. And when they came to the steps, they pulled themselves slowly up. They took more than double the time. So can you imagine how much is the effect of your intention, of your mind, what you think on your body in the reality? It has a direct impact. That's why we're coming now to the part where you have to become a magician. You have to start thinking positive on yourself, positive on others, and positive on the world. So the first thing which we have to master is bless ourselves. And what's the best time to bless ourselves? Amrit Vela. Here we come back to Amrit Vela. I'm still on the job to make it so powerful and so blissful that nothing can happen to me. Thank you. I will touch your feet later. So it will happen to you also. Blessing, blessing, blessing. So the art is we start giving blessing to ourselves and start giving blessing to others. And this is an art. In the morning when you get up, I'm very good, everything will happen, no problems, fantastic, this, that, this, that, this, that. Everything will be very good. Then once we master that, regardless if it's Monday or there's no gas or that the car has a puncture, we say, don't worry, everything will be all right. Then blessing to others. Can you ask them to stop that noise outside? Then blessing to others and blessings to the world. So this is what is in our pipeline. But therefore, we have to change the sanskars. And sanskars are extremely powerful. So, how to change sanskars? And science has done a lot of research, and they find out when you're 14, your mindset is actually set. When you're 14, your mindset is set. You like chocolate or you like orange. You like blue or you like red color. You like cotton or terry cotton. You like Mercedes-Benz or you like Porsche. That's all with 14. After 14, to change the mindset becomes quite difficult because you create highways in your brain and you follow them. And the problem is the older you get, the less flexibility is there. It's called the neuronal flexibility of your brain. And a lot of research has gone into that because psychologists try to make people get rid of their old sanskars. No? That's what psychologists try. So they find out if you meditate regular, it increases your social competence, it deepens relaxation, improves health, but it increases the brain cells and activity and changes habits and awareness. So that's happened when you meditate with your brain. You create new highways. And the old ones, the bad ones, you're not using them anymore. And that's why Baba says, if you meditate with me, your original sanskars will emerge. And the old sanskars, they will fade away. You will not get 100% rid of the old stuff, but you put it in a cupboard and you don't use it anymore. And that's how we change sanskars. And that's why it is important to meditate. And that's why Baba talks so often on meditation. So, now we come to the last point, how to become a magician and a healer of the world. Because you all know that we need a little bit of magic, no? To change the world and make it a better place and create paradise. So I would like to share with you very briefly something about quantum physics. You know, in they call it the weird world of quantum because there are some effects which are very strange. And one very famous experiment is the double slit experiment. You can actually look it up in the internet. And it's very interesting because in the double slit experiment, this was done first time 1920. And in that, they tried to find out what's the nature of light. And so they made an experiment. They had a light source and they had a wall with two holes and a screen. And so when light is a particle, you get a light spot here and a light spot here. And if light is a wave, the waves go here and you get many, many light spots on the screen. So this was a very straightforward experiment and they said, okay, we'll find out easily if light is a wave or light is a particle. And then the problem was sometimes they got that result and sometimes they got this result. And they freaked out because in science you don't have both. That's not allowed. You must have one clear answer. So they did a lot of research, changed the experiments and this and that. And at the end, they find out that something is influencing the outcome of the experiment. Who knows it? So, huh? The consciousness. It's the observer. If the guy who does the experiment observes the experiment, light behaves like a particle. And if he changes and looks to you and his attention goes somewhere else, light becomes a wave. Then he looks back, light is a particle. And Einstein called it the spooky effect and didn't believe it in the beginning. the spook remote effect. Einstein called it the spooky effect and didn't believe in the beginning, but later he agreed that it is right. So what quantum physics found out, our thoughts and our vision create reality. And that's something Baba so many times also emphasizes. He says, you are connected to the world. And your mind, your thoughts, your emotion are so important. What you think has an effect on others. What you project has an effect on others. What you imagine has an effect on others. Baba so many times talks about it, and here quantum physics finds it out. They say there is an instringent, there is a connection between your consciousness and what you observe and your intention and what happens actually there in reality. It's interconnected. Some scientists, they say that the consciousness is connected to quantum field, to the quantum field. And when you connect to the quantum field, from the quantum field, the reality happens. So we are connected to reality all the time. And through observing it, we create it. And when we observe it in a positive way, we create it in a positive way. When we observe it in a negative way, it becomes negative. This is the connection between our consciousness and reality. And that's how we become a magician. What you think, your thoughts and your visions become reality. And this brings us straight to Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar. Because all of us, we have these three aspects in us. We are a creator. We like to create something new. And then we are like to sustain it. Yeah? Sustenance goes on. I'm just painting solar house backside, you know. I'm just sustaining it. Big drama, painting job. And then at the end comes destruction. We are very, very, very good in sustenance. We sustain our bodies. We sustain our house. We sustain our jobs. We sustain our bank account. I hope you're all good in sustaining your bank accounts. We are very good in sustenance. And now we're thinking, okay, I hope Golo is finishing soon because we can give some food to the body and sustain the body. We're very good in sustenance because we learned that. You know, that's a powerful sanskar to sustain things. We forgot a little bit about creation because we forgot that we are creators and that we are connected to reality, that the soul is the smallest particle and controls all the rest. We forgot about that. And we're scared of destruction. That's the situation right now. We're scared of death. Who is not scared of death? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow, you're very courageous. You know, I had a health issue about 2 weeks ago. I was a bit in a rush. And I have three tablets, all vitamins in the morning. So I took them all in one go and swallowed them down. And one is a bad one. It doesn't run easily. It got stuck. And I was standing there. And I couldn't breathe. Yeah, you are laughing. That was very funny. That is very funny. I remember that you laugh about it. It's very funny because 20 seconds I couldn't breathe. And I was up in solar house. Nobody was there. And then I thought, is this the end? And I thought, that's very bad. I'm not yet completed. I'm not finished painting the house. Some solar project, and we go to Egypt to the climate conference, and so many things are still pending, you know, and my stage is not ready yet, you know. Is your stage ready? No. So, and then I had a maha cough, like, and the tablet went in my lung, but I could breathe. That's why my voice is a bit rough. And, but I had 20 seconds, an encounter with death. Afterwards I had an operation in Global Hospital. They fished it out. You don't want to hear the details. It was dramatic. I survived. I'm here. I'm happy. But I had my encounter with death recently. And I told you, I was not in favor of it. It's a nasty companion. 63 birth, this guy came, the death came and snatched us in the middle of some job. No? And now Baba says, come on, children, die alive. And we have to overcome the fear. And this is very deep, because many, many births we died under not so favorable circumstances. Death was not necessarily our friend in the past. So, we have the three forms. So that's the big challenge now, you know, in this time when the death is coming in front of us, to become fearless of even death, even of your own death, your own end. And you have to transcend that. And that is one of the biggest challenges in Brahman life. To overcome that deep, deep old fear. And these three forms, they help us. Because within us, there's Brahma, the creator. My thoughts create reality. Anyhow, we're very good in sustenance. We're all very, very good sustainers. And now, we have to become also Shankar. Shankar means we let go. We become detached. And we create a vision of a perfect world. Because as you've seen from the yogic farming and from the quantum physics, the mind creates reality. The world exists because we observe it. Last week there was a BBC article, very interesting. It's called The Long Read. It's like background stuff. So it was written, are we living in a big hallucination? I said, what is this article? So I read it, and it's a famous scientist, psychologist, scientist, quantum scientist, and he says, scientist is not clear, but probably we're living in a big hallucination which we create ourselves. And the whole world is our big hallucination in our brain. It doesn't actually exist outside there. We create it in our brain. Isn't that interesting? So, imagine your perfect world. Because that's how we become Brahma. Creator. We let the old go, the old vision, the old sanskar go, and we replace it with the new. We visualize love, perfection, and we visualize golden age and the role we're having there. This is also a powerful tool in meditation, what I'm using. I sit there and sometimes I connect to my perfect form in golden age. How I really look like? What's the deity? What are my powers? You know? Am I fully light or I have a little bit of a body? Do I eat? Can I overeat? Can I drink? Do I play music instrument? What's my relation to birds and animals? You know? So I think about it. So visualize the perfect world, the paradise, peace, most important, love, harmony, beauty, perfection, bliss, prosperity, happiness, timeless and just. So this is our most important task, that we start visualizing golden age, because that's how we create it. So I'm coming now slowly to the end, and I just want to introduce one last scientist to you. His name is Sir Roger Penrose. He wrote a book, The Cycle of Time. And the interesting part is, he said that he gave a new perspective to the three questions, the big three questions in physics. What came before the Big Bang? What is the source of order in our universe? And what cosmic future awaits us? And he says that the Big Bang and the end of one eon, he called it an eon, and the beginning of another eon is in an endless cycle of time. So basically he says there's a Big Bang, then everything collapses, and there's a Big Bang again. And this looks a bit like this, the Big Bang. And interestingly, in the beginning of the Big Bang, you have something called the singularity. That's here. And there they say space is condensed that much that time is frozen. So there's no time and no space. And everything stops. Does that sound familiar? Does a bell ring in your brain? A moment in time, absolutely silence, no movement, no matter, no expansion. This is similar to our seed stage. Baba talks about Bindu, the seed stage, when you are pure soul, Atma. And Baba says this stage is the most powerful one, and that's also the most powerful in the whole cycle. This is the moment when the old merges into the new. And interestingly, this corresponds with some of the ideas and concepts in Yajna. This is more like an inspiration which I'm giving to you to think a little bit about destruction, creation, new time, and so on. And Baba says always, time is with you. Time is with you. And at the end, when you reach your perfect stage, matter will collapse. Matter will follow you, and matter will be purified. And Baba says, a new identical cycle will be created. So, everything is with us, and I come to the end of my little talk. I have bombarded you with lots and lots and lots of information. I gave you an overview what's happening in the world in terms of climate change, biodiversity, and the crisis situation. We are in the last chapter of our Yajna, and transformation of this world is imminent in front of us. We will deal with a lot of people who are upset in the future, and we have to become very powerful. And then I shared a little bit what the Yajna is doing about it. We are very active in the field of environmental protection, we have yogic farming, we have all sorts of platforms, we are all over the internet. We go to all the climate conferences, to the biodiversity conferences, and we try to make this bridge between environment and spirituality. And in the last chapter, I a little bit spoke about how powerful is our mind. And how our mind actually creates reality. That's the part of the magician. Because we need magic to create a new world. Now, Baba many times talks about that. That we are the ones who are actually doing it. And it is our stage, our purity, and it's our vibration which moves at the end things in the world and creates golden age. Baba says golden age can only happen when the children are ready. So my little presentation was all about making you reflect about your own stage, about your own goals, and maybe has widened a little bit the horizon, how things may fan out or may happen in the future, how the transformation process is going to happen. I personally believe we'll see the whole universe in front of us changing, you know, and I believe we're all superheroes because we're super yogis and we have superpowers. We just forgotten about it. And the art is now to switch it all on. So, thank you very much for your attention. Time is up. And we have in 2 days a program with Sister Jenti, and Sister Sonia will moderate, and Brother Raju, who is looking after the yogic farmings, Mr. Jenti and myself, we will be on stage. There will be question and answers. And then we will also give some brochures of our environmental initiative and about the Yogis for Future. And I hope you will find time to come. And time is a little bit up. Otherwise, we might would have some questions, or anybody has a question. Maybe one question we can ask. Anybody has a question? Otherwise, we do a meditation. 2 minutes of silence, huh? Is that all right? Or you want to say something? Shuma, you want to say?
Om Shanti and Gaulabhai, thank you so much on behalf of all those sitting here and all those who are listening online. I think you summarized it very well. And I think that we've all seen that we have to create these bridges, and we really have to use the power of the mind, which is really the angelic form. So I'm sure that things have become very clear for us, not only factually, but also in terms of our spiritual endeavors and responsibilities. So thank you so much. That was
right.
Really informative and very valuable.
Okay, so let's have a minute of silence and just let it sink a little bit.